Right. I want to talk a little bit about the law written on the heart of man. Amen. Let us pray together. Father, I thank you that as I preach, people's minds are enlightened by your gospel of rest. Thank you for that, my God. You are an awesome, awesome God. You love us so, so much. Thank you that you've enabled me and that this word carries power and that your word is anointed to help people. I thank you, Lord, that as these leaders go to their homes after this day, that this gospel will be preached in such a powerful way where they are. Amen. Right. You know, the Bible says that God made the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested. And then when Jesus Christ was hanging on the earth, He said, "It is finished." And then He entered into His rest. And then the Gospel says that we should labor to enter into the rest of God. Now, what is that rest? That rest does not mean laziness. That rest does not mean I am not going to see any manifestation of good things in my life. The word rest in the Bible there doesn't mean you are taking a break. I'm taking a coffee break, tea break, and then I will continue with the work later. No. When God rested, He rested from His work. That means that there was no more work to be done. Amen. It's like a painter. Say you would take Da Vinci, would make a wonderful painting. And then, you know, he would make his painting, he would start in the morning. And then for one day he will only paint the background of the painting. And then he will go to bed at night, he's tired. He's taking a break. And then the next day he will start to paint, he will continue. Until he is now finished. And when he is finished with a painting, that painting is so perfect that not even Da Vinci can add anything. Then he says, "Okay, it's finished. Whatever was inside me, I created here. I look in me, I find there's nothing more that even I, Leonardo, can add here." And then he says, "It is finished." And he enters into his rest, enjoying what he created. Now, when God rested, and Jesus said, "It's finished," it means that God said that not even the Lord God Almighty can add anything more to you. God cannot add to your holiness. God cannot add to your righteousness. God cannot add to your peace. Everything that God could do, He did. You know the teaching of purification. I remember when I was in Bible school, I was taught this, and then for 3 years after that, I also was, or for a couple of years, I was also teaching this teaching. I said, God will purify you with fire. He will put hard times. And then the hard times will let the sin come forth. And when the sin comes forth, then he can deal with the sin. And then I will use a scripture that says, as the purifier of silver purifies it, in the same way God purifies you. You take the silver, you put it in the oven. You make it very hot. Unbearable hot. Until it's boiling. And when it boils, you find the dirt coming to the top. Then he removes the dirt. And as he removes the dirt, when he looks into the silver, and he sees a perfect reflection of his face in the silver, he says, ah, it's perfect. It's purified. But I never knew that that spoke about Jesus. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, the fire of the wrath of God came upon him. And until all sin was burnt away, until God could see the perfection of himself in man, because all of the sin has been burnt away, then Jesus said, it's finished. I've purified man. As the purifier of silver purifies. So God rested by saying, I cannot add anything. So we need to enter into that rest. Saying, I am resting from my effort to please God. Now the Bible says, and this was something I couldn't understand, that God will write His law on my heart. And as a grace preacher, I preached it this way. I said, before you were in grace, you wanted to do bad. But you try to do good. But under grace you want to do good. And then I found that's not true. You say, ah, what are you meaning? Let me explain. The Bible says in Romans 7, when you are under the law, the good that you want to do, you cannot do. So all the people under the law, they want to do good. So under grace, we cannot preach, no. Now that you are under grace, you want to do good. Because the person under the law will say, then I am under grace, for I want to do good. Because the Bible says God will write His law on our hearts. Now if you go to Romans chapter 7, and we read from verse 5, you'll see the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law was not that we live holy by the law. And we're going to read it now. Why did God give the law? So that people can live holy? No! The Bible says God gave the law so that sin can become more.
Bible
So the law is not a way. The purpose of the law is not for you to live goodbye. The purpose of the law was so that people can sin more. God gave the law so that people can sin. You say, no, I don't believe it. Romans chapter 6 says, or Romans chapter 5 says, where sin, it says, where the law came so that sin can abound.
Romans chapter 6, you know,
why did the law come? So that sin can become more. So now, how will God now, in the grace, under grace, I always thought the law was written on stones, but now God's going to take that law and write it on my heart. The worst thing you can ever do is to take the law that brings forth sin and write it on somebody's heart. So what law does God talk about? Let's read Romans 7, and I want to read from verse 5. It says,
Romans 7, verse 5.
It says, for when we were in the flesh, the passions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So the passions of sin was by the law. So when we were in the flesh, when we were seeking justification by the law, we found that the passion of sin came from the law. So if you want the passion of sin to stop, what must you do? Take away the law. Amen. Let's read one nice shocking scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
1 Corinthians 15.
And verse 56.
Verse 56.
The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. So what makes sin very strong?
The law.
Hey. And he's referring to the Ten Commandments. Paul said, I did not know sin but by the law. Let me read verse 9, Romans 7, verse 9. He says, Paul said, I was alive without the law. But when the law came again, sin revived, and I died. Paul says he had a revival. That was what Pastor Steve was referring to in the first session. He had a revival. So when was Paul alive without the law? Because he was circumcised on the eighth day. He was alive without the law after he met with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And then God revealed grace to him. Then he went into Arabia, and he preached the gospel. And in that time that he was preaching there, the law came back to him. He thought, let me try and keep the law again, the Ten Commandments. Let's incorporate the Ten Commandments into my gospel. He said, oh, I was alive without the law, just believing in grace. But when the law came again, I found those old sins. They start again. You find many people, they come to, they get saved at the crusade. They live a very holy life. And then after 3 months of law at the church, you find he backslides. Why? Because the message preached is reviving sin in the man. We are writing the law of commandments on their hearts. Because we've been thinking that God wants to write the law on the hearts of people. In Galatians chapter 2, Romans 2, you'll find that Paul says the law has already been written on the hearts of the Gentiles. That's why they condemn each other. So Paul was saying the Jews condemn each other and are guilty because they've got the law written on stones. And they are guilty before God, for they cannot keep the law. Then he says, if the Gentiles naturally does the things written in the law, it means the law is already written on their hearts. So the Gentiles had the law written on their hearts, but they were not saved. So what law does God talk about? When God spoke to the Pharisees, he did not say, my law says. He said to the Pharisees, your law says. He talked about the law of man. You know, I spoke to Pastor Steve. If you sit at a table, you know, sometimes there's many people around the table. Now you are sitting on this side, but the salt is on that side. Now you say, please give me the salt. Then Pastor Steve takes the salt. He gives it to me. Does that mean that the salt belongs to Pastor Steve? No. It just means he handed him the salt that he asked for. When Adam decided to live under the law, he said to God, pass me the law. So when God took the law and wrote it down and gave it to man, does it mean it's God's law? No, he just wrote down what man asked for. That's why the Pharisees, he said to them, your law says. But I want to read you the verse of the law of God. Psalm 40. What's the law that we need to obey in order to be saved? What's the law that he will write on our hearts? You're going to be blessed now. This is a prophecy about Jesus. Psalm 40 from verse 7.
Psalms 40 verse 7.
It says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it's written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is written within my heart. So he says the law of God is written in the heart of Jesus. Then Jesus said, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, you know. I have hid your righteousness within my heart. So he says, your law is written on my heart. Then he says, I've hidden your righteousness within my heart. So the law of God is the righteousness of God, which Jesus preached. Listen to this. I have declared, now he says, I've hidden, your law is in my heart. Okay? Your righteousness is in my heart. And then it's a semicolon explaining what this law is. He says, I have declared your faithfulness. I have declared your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. So Jesus says, God, your law is written in my heart. But I did not keep your law only there. I preached your law. I preached your righteousness. I preached your salvation. I preached your loving kindness to the people. Amen. So the law of God is the love of God. The law of God is how God saves people. Amen. Now, the Bible says the word loving kindness means the Hebrew for loving kindness means the following. Kindness is the personality that desires to contribute to the happiness of others. So Jesus said, I've preached your law, O God. Your law is how you desire to contribute to the happiness of others. Amen. So the law of God is the principle by which God contributes to our joy. Which is the principle of representation where Jesus represents all of us. The law by which God judges us is the principle that one man represents us all. Then he says in Hebrews 8, I will write my law on their hearts, saying I will write the principle by which I look at them inside their belief systems. Amen. And then they will be to me a people, and I will be to them a God. You see, when the law of Moses is written on your heart, then God is not God, He is boss. And you are not His people, you are slaves. But when the law, the principle by which God looks at us, God's law of life is like this. God is life, and if God indwells you, you will have the life of God. The law of God concerning holiness is this: God is holy, and unless he gives you his holiness for free, you will never be holy. So the law by which you will be made holy is the holiness of God must be imputed to you. That's God's law. So he says, I'll write my law on their hearts. Not the law of works righteousness, but the law of how he loved you to make you righteous. Amen. This is a very shortened version of this message. Amen. There's a difference between, listen, the Bible says, there is a way that seems unto life, but the end is death. And that way was written in Proverbs 14 and Proverbs 16. And Paul writes about it in Romans 7. Let me read it quickly. And I'll end off with that. He says, verse 10, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking its opportunity by the commandment, deceived me and killed me. The commandment, the Ten Commandments' purpose was to make you the worst sinner, so that you can see, I don't have the ability to save myself. I need a savior. I also still preach the law sometimes. If I see somebody is very self-righteous, he thinks he can save himself, I take out the law and I read the law to him. I say, have you ever had a bad thought about somebody else? Had a bad thought about other people? And I start to take out the law, and he becomes very guilty. Then I tell him, you see, you need a savior. You cannot save yourself. The purpose of the law was not to make any man holy. The purpose of the law was to make you sin. And we preach it in the church and expect people not to sin. The very thing God wrote down to bring forth sin. I tell you, when God gives something, it works. If you use that thing, it will work every time. Bringing forth sin, bringing forth hypocrisy. But God gave grace to bring forth holiness. God gave grace to bring forth righteousness and peace in the hearts of people. Hallelujah. So the law that he will write on his life, on your heart, is the law of life in Christ Jesus. Not the law of sin and death, which is the Ten Commandments. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.